of all the things that are happening, I'm dressed like I am. So no, you know, people, every time I dress like this, somebody says, did somebody die? Well, in a sense, yes. Thousands have died for our freedom, so we honor them too. But anyway, why don't you stand with me? We're going to pray, and then we will remain standing for the national anthem. And so, you know what? I don't care how much America is flawed. I'd still rather live here in this great land. Amen. I have rarely traveled around the world that somebody hasn't asked me, can you help me get to America? It's rare that it hasn't happened. Let's pray together. Lord, today we are grateful for the freedom that we have, and we know that that freedom has been bought with blood. The blood of men and women who have laid down their lives, paid the ultimate price, and we honor them today. We thank you. But Lord, we are gathered here today to recognize the ultimate price that Jesus paid for our eternal freedom. And that is what really, truly makes our lives worth living. Thank you for all of that. May you be glorified in all things today. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, friends. Amen. Remain standing for our national anthem.
Say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet
Why don't you just take just a moment? We're going to sing a really great song, Dancing on Graves. But let's take a moment right now and just express your gratitude to the Lord for this great land and the freedom that we enjoy. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this great land. We are honored and we bless your great name for this wonderful land in which we live. Thanks, Father. Amen. Now, come on, let's worship the Lord of glory. Come on.
Thank you.
First of all, I'm going to pray this way, that anybody here caught in the spirit of fear would be free. Father God, you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of self-control And so, God, any of us here that are struggling with fear due to any reason, may we realize that you will never leave us, you'll never forsake us. You are always with us, and you are greater than all things. And may we stand in that confidence. Hallelujah. Some of you just need to simply say, I refuse to fear because he is with me. Amen. Hallelujah. When fear grips you, you need to resist that. Amen. Today's not only Memorial Day Sunday, Military Appreciation Sunday, but it's also Pentecost Sunday. If you want more information on that, you can read Acts 1 and 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, this is that day. That day. Let's pray. I'm going to pray this way, that God by his Spirit is free to do whatever he wants to do at Seaport Community Church. Amen. Spirit of the living God, the day of Pentecost. Everything changed. Everything changed. In a moment. And we do pray that God, by your power, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would do everything that you desire, Seaport Community Church. This church doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to the Assemblies of God. It belongs to the God of the Assemblies. And we are trusting you. By your Holy Spirit, you'll do everything that you want. God, every person that needs to be filled, baptized in your Holy Spirit would receive that gift. And that, God, this church would operate solely in the power of your divine might. It is not by power, it is not by might, but by your Spirit. And that's what we desire. Thank you, Father. Amen, friends. Amen. Trusting you, Lord. Amen. God bless you guys. You're just seated. You're going to be seated for a couple of minutes, and then you're going to stand back up again, and we're going to pray some more. And sometimes people say, man, you guys pray a lot at your church. That's a good thing. I'll take that as a compliment. Amen? Amen. This is Memorial Day, and we do want to take a moment to recognize and remember the fallen. Let's watch this little video.
With the rising of the sun each morning, we remember how you rose to the call. And with every sunset, in every evening, we remember the beauty of your sacrifice. We remember what you stood for, and we will not forget what it cost. To the families, friends, and fellow service members of the heroes we've lost, we remember. In the peaceful days, in the quiet nights, in the moments of joy and laughter, in the seasons of celebration, we remember that it did not come without a price. Because of you, we can walk in liberty. Because of you, the flag is still there. Because of you, this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. On this day, we remember the price you paid to pledge your allegiance. So today, tomorrow, and for the rest of our lives, we remember.
I'd like to ask you to stand with me one more time. And Chaplain Maxwell Abishai is going to come and pray And we're going to remember all those that are fallen, all those represented by the missing man table out there in our tower. He's going to pray for the families of those that this weekend feel it deeply. Chaplain.
Please let us pray. Almighty God, creator and sustainer of our lives, we thank you for the opportunity to stand here today to recognize and honor the service members who died on duty. These men and women, sons and daughters, husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters, have made the supreme sacrifice to secure the blessing of life, liberty, and justice for our nation. May our observance be a timely reminder that the freedom we enjoy as a country was purchased at a high cost and should not be taken for granted. Loving God, bless them forever in your eternal peace. Let the sounds of strife, the cries of battle, and the wounds of war become for all eternity in your endless grace. Let these great warriors, O God, continue to rest in your eternal glory, ever reminded that we who are left behind cherish their spirit, honor their commitment, and will never forget the ultimate sacrifice to our country. For the family left behind, we pray that God, you continue to grant your peace, love, and comfort as you continue in your grief. You too have made a sacrifice. May you keep the memory of your loved ones alive by sharing the story of their bravery with all who will listen. We pray that God may give you the strength to cope with daily challenges in the absence of your loved ones, and the healing power of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, will be the hope in your heart. May the remembrance of the price paid by our service members for our nation urge us to seek justice, foster freedom, and pursue ways of peace and love for one another. May our great nation, O God, be a source of blessing to all. May your strength sustain us. May your power preserve us. May your hand protect us. And may the love of God that surpasses all understanding be with us today and forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Chaplain. Amen. Isn't it wonderful? We have our own Assemblies of God chaplain as part of our church. And that's a great thing, isn't it? Woo! Amen. Happens to come to us from Africa. That's great. Amen. Before you're seated, I want all of our active service personnel and families, I want you to remain standing. Everybody else, please be seated. If you could, everybody else be seated. But active military, if you would remain standing. Our ushers are going to come right now. Chris has picked out a little book called Pocket Prayers for Military Life by Max Lucado. We want to put one of these in each of your hands, one per family, just so that just as a little gift to say thank you and just to be a little blessing to you. And prayers to pull out at critical moments, and you can look at these and pray these prayers, and I think it'll be a blessing to you. And as soon as you have one, if you could be seated so that the guys know they're passing, they're quickly moving, passing those out. Amen. I think we just about got everybody. Thank you. Give all of our active military personnel a round of applause. Can you do that? Thank you very much. And also, on your way out today, if you'd stop and pick up one of these little magnets that says "Pray for Our Military, Seaport Community Church," and you can use this magnet to take that little submarine of the month, little half sheet that Chris creates, and we've been praying for the USS Virginia, and that'll change next Sunday. So keep praying for the Virginia, and you can use that. Stick that right up on your refrigerator. And that would be great. So grab one of those. I mean, everybody in the family can have one of those. We got a lot of those. So grab those on your way out today, okay? That would be great if you would do that. And it'd be just tremendous here Let me just take a moment and welcome any of you that are here for the very first time and are watching us online for the very first time. It's great to have you at Seaport. Connecting with you is very important to us. Lots of easy ways to do it. If you're online or here in the building, you can just text the word welcome to the number there on the bottom of the screen. A link comes back. Hit that link. Fill out. It takes you less than a minute to fill it out, and we're connected. Or if you want to do a different way, you can also aim your camera at the QR code in the seat in front of you. It takes you to a landing page, a lot of information there, and also how to download the Church Center app, which will really help you stay connected as well. So anyway, those are some things that you can do. We're going to honor the Lord with our giving right now, as we always do. Thanks for being so faithful and generous. I just need to tell you something amazing that happened in the last couple of weeks. And some time ago, and some of you close to me know that the Lord told me to pray for $60,000 worth of income into the church. And I thought, well, that's kind of a weird figure. And I don't know. Long story, and I just did that. It's what the Lord told me to do. It's not unusual for him to do that with me. I prayed for $60,000 to come in to take care, because there's some big projects that are waiting and things we want to do and so I will just tell you that in the last week and a half, 62,000 came in. And most of that was tithes. God really blessed somebody. See? It works, friends. May not work the same way for you, but it does work. Honor the Lord with your giving. Amen? Yes. Amen. Don't stop giving. You know, I mean, honor the Lord with your giving. Look at that. Look at what Paul said. You must decide in your own heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to any pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all that you need, and you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. There it is, right there. Amen? Amen. Sometimes we're afraid to give because we're afraid we won't have enough. Lord said, you'll have enough and even more. Lord, thanks for the privilege of giving. Be glorified as we give. Lord, thank you for all those, God, who are faithful to tithe. You said you'd pour out a blessing on them that they couldn't contain. And I pray, God, that they receive every bit of that blessing in response to your word. Thanks, Lord. Be glorified, God, in all ways. Thanks. Amen, friends. Amen. There's plenty of ways to give around here. The app is probably the easiest way to do that. Or you can giving boxes that are out there. Or you can stop by the Info Center if you want to do that too. Rolando, come and share some opportunities with us. And Rolando, for those of you that don't know, he's more than our youth and young adult director. He's a very, very, very expectant father. Any day now. Any moment now.
Thank you, Pastor Brad. Amen. Well, I've got some opportunity to share with all of you this morning. If you are interested in learning about how to prosper in God's plan, or maybe understanding a little bit about the book of Hebrews, you definitely want to be here on Wednesday night. In James, he talks about this man, Elijah, one of our prophets, and how he had the same nature as us, humans, and he prayed fervently, and it didn't rain for 3 whole years. He goes on to explain that we have that same nature, right? Join us for our weekly prayer that we have going on around here. Prayer changes everything. If you are a mom and you want to connect with some other moms and maybe have a little bit of break from your kids while they run around at the playground, we've got a mom's gathering coming up very soon. We've got a bunch of men in this church who get together, they grow together, they learn and get involved in each other's lives and really do this walk together. If you want to get involved in that, we have our stretched men's ministry. If you want to understand what your God-given role is, your design, what he created you to do, and what your gifts are as a child of God, you want to get together with Pastor Brad and do Engage. And then we have our water baptisms coming up at Bluff Point. So if you have not been water baptized, in the name of Jesus, you've got to do it. You've got to do it. Proclaim your faith boldly for all to see. the scriptures say that if we confess Christ before men, he'll confess us before the angels. So get water baptized, and that's coming up shortly here. But thank you. All the youth, we're going to remain in the service today, and those are our opportunities.
Thanks, Rolando. I appreciate that very much. It's been a lot of hard work, and this gives me great pleasure to do what I'm about to do. In the presentation of the Assemblies of God license and credentials to Christopher Phillips. And Nikki, I'm going to ask you to join us. Nikki, would you join us? Nikki, would you join us? Love to have you join us. It's never just the guy doing it. There's always lots of support from the family. This is an amazing occasion. It's years of hard work. It's a great step for Chris and his family. And so today, ladies and gentlemen, esteemed congregants, distinguished guests, and I believe, Chris, are your folks here?
They are.
Can they stand? Could Chris's folks that are here, we welcome you. Great to have you here. Welcome. Welcome. Yeah, it's great. Thanks for being here. It's great. God bless you. You guys can be seated. Go ahead. Be seated, please. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm so glad that you could be here. This is a significant milestone that we mark today in Chris's journey. We are in part here to celebrate, of course, and most importantly, to recognize and join in the commissioning of Chris as a licensed minister with the Assemblies of God. Chris, you've proven yourself to be a man of strong faith, unyielding commitment, and dedicated service. You've shown a deep and abiding love for the Word of God that you're going to preach in just a few moments. You're coupled with an earnest desire to shepherd the flock of God. We have seen in you the marks of a true leader, qualities that align with the calling of a minister. The Apostle Paul wrote this to his young protege in the gospel. He was an old man, and Timothy was about 30 or 35 when he wrote this to him. If someone aspires to be a church leader, he desires an honorable position. So a church leader must be a man whose life is above reproach. He must be faithful to his wife. He must exercise self-control, live wisely, have a good reputation. He must enjoy having guests in his home, and he must be able to teach. He must not be a heavy drinker or be violent. He must be gentle, not quarrelsome, not love money. He must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. And Chris, you've risen to that standard. I'm honored today to present these credentials to Chris. And as I present this to you, Chris, we're not merely handing you a piece of paper by any means. We're acknowledging that you are ready and you've met all of the demands that are necessary to take on the divine responsibility of spreading the gospel, nurturing believers, and being a beacon of God's love and hope in this very dark world. As a licensed minister with the Assemblies of God, you are commissioned to guide, to teach, to comfort, to lead with grace and with wisdom that our Lord Jesus Christ models for us. Chris, this license is both a symbol of trust that we and the General Council of the Assemblies of God have in you, and is a reminder of the humble service that lies at the heart of any true ministry. Chris, may the Holy Spirit guide you, your steps, and empower your words. May your ministry be blessed with an abundant harvest, and may God's love and wisdom be evident in your life and work. We're going to pray. I'm going to ask the deacons if they would come and join me on the platform, and Chaplain Abishai, if you would come as well. And we're going to stand around this family. And Chris is about to preach, so you're going to be seated for a while, so you might as well exercise your legs one more time. Stand up with us. We're giving honor to whom honor is due. This is an august moment. It required lots of work. A lot of work. And Chris is now in a program that's going to prepare him, hopefully, to be a Navy chaplain And so there's work for that. And they'll go on for ordination, and there's work for that. It's still a journey, but this is the great first step. Join with me as we pray for Chris, Nicole, and this family. Ministry is much like military in the sense that everybody's in it. It's all in, everybody. Very similar. Thank you, Lord, for Chris and for Nikki and this family. We thank you today, Lord, as I have walked with Chris and Chris has walked with me these 3 years. A lot of hard work. This church owes him a great debt of gratitude for all that he's done and all that he is and all that he's been and all that he's helped. And all the work that he's done that nobody's seen but you and me. And I'm asking you now, Lord, as he takes this step, this is such a great thing. And I know that your blessing is already resting upon him. And may everything that's been said come be true of him today. And may his effectiveness in you just continue to grow, even exponentially. Help him as he studies, Lord, it's a heady course that he's in, demanding, but empower him and enable him to do that and to do it well. Lord, may this family together, may they be of one heart and one mind in all that they are and all that they do. And God, may they recognize the high honor to which they have been called. It is a high honor. And God, we bless them now. And Lord, it is my privilege and my honor to commission Chris now and to recognize him with these credentials of the Assemblies of God, not given lightly nor easily. Thanks, Father. Amen. You can now applaud if you'd like to do that. Hallelujah. Okay, you can be seated. All of you can be seated. He can't. Now that he's got credentials, he's going to preach really good.
Wow.
I'm so proud of you, dude. I am so proud of you.
Well, thank you. And Shabam, that's right. You know, I didn't know what I was going to say, actually. I just wanted to say thank you for all of you, for all your support throughout this journey, and I look forward to wherever God takes me, and being here with you guys, it's just amazing. Well, good morning. I guess I get to preach today, too. How's everybody doing? Good? You know, I titled this message today, Don't You Trust Me? And it's kind of funny because whenever I've had something that was very difficult or an uncertainty that I took to the Lord, I would always get these four little words back to me. Don't you trust me? And it kind of goes along with the journey that I've been on, right? And what I've learned is that when we're in those situations, when we're in those difficult periods, those periods of uncertainty, we often go like this. And we hold on for dear life. We hold on for dear life because we think that this is trusting God. But really what I've learned, that trust in God looks like this. It looks like this. It looks like us letting go of us grabbing the Father's hand and then reaching down to grab someone else. Reaching down for others. You know, years ago there was a study done with a bunch of seminary students about the Good Samaritan. They had met individually with these 40 ministry students under the pretense that they were doing a church study on careers. And each student was instructed to walk to a nearby building and give an impromptu TED-type talk. Some were told that they were going to talk about the Good Samaritan parable, while others were told that they were just going to talk about their career concerns. And meanwhile, these researchers, they planted an actor along the path, right? Along the path. And as the student approached, this actor groaned and slumped down to the ground. And what they found was that more than half of the students just walked right on by. And the researchers noted that some who were even planning to do a dissertation on the Good Samaritan literally stepped right over these slumped bodies as they humped along. Now, I know. Your first response was like, probably, geez, these are ministry students? This is unbelievable. I know that was my first thought when I was reading the study. I thought, how could these students be so hard-hearted as to ignore this hurting man? I would never do that. But would I? Would you? You know, my hunch is that these students actually represent most of us. You see, they were so preoccupied with themselves. They were so preoccupied by the immediate pressure that they had faced that they were like this. They were grabbing on to what they thought they needed to grab onto. In this case, to deliver a talk. And they missed an opportunity. They missed an obvious opportunity and apparentness to help this man. This man that was on their path, slumped right in front of them. And so they didn't stop and help him. They didn't see this man as Jesus would have seen him. They only saw their own need. You see, because they were just holding on. They were holding on. And so as we continue this series that we're in, this series of the commands of Jesus, I want you to ask yourself this question. Do I really trust God? Do I trust him enough to let go? Do I trust him enough to let go of me and be used by he? To be used by he who created everything. And so if you could pull out your preferred biblical viewing platform, whatever that might be, whether it's a paper Bible or a handy-dandy phone in your pocket, today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. You see, in verse 35, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were confused and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. He said to the disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." You know, the famous theologian Charles Spurgeon, he said that verse 38, this, "So pray that the Lord who is in charge of the harvest, ask him to send more workers into his fields," weighed on his heart more than any other text in the Bible. In fact, it said that it haunted him perpetually. So I pray that today's message will stick with you long after you leave here today. Because I presume that since Jesus and his disciples were together and they were at the same place at the very same time, that they saw the same crowd of people approaching, yet they saw things from different perspectives. They saw things from different ways. You see, the disciples probably thought, send them away, as they did on previous occasions when the crowds started to gather and the needs became so overwhelming that the disciples were like, oh God, and they hung on. Yet Jesus saw them differently. Because when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Because they were confused and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. And as Jesus looked across the crowd, he referred to them as sheep without a shepherd. Because he was moved. He was moved with compassion. His heart was heavy with the danger that people faced around him, especially those that didn't know him. You see, Jesus didn't mean lost people as they needed a GPS. He saw them as distressed, confused, without a spiritual path. He could feel deep within himself this heavy load, this burden that people that were apart from him felt. He could see that they were hanging on to everything, that their coats were being weighed down. Jesus saw lost people as dispirited, utterly helpless and forsaken without him. I mean, can you imagine what that must have felt like. I mean, have you ever carefully looked into people's faces when you're at the grocery store or somewhere in public and seen when people are troubled or the amount of distressed people that are out there? I mean, can we even begin to imagine what it must have been like for Jesus? It's no wonder that the shortest and most powerful verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. He wept because of his compassion, because of his ability to feel empathetically for others. And you know, while I was preparing this message, I read about how when sheep get turned over on their backs, they may not be able to get up again. They may not be able to right themselves on their own. And when this happens, I mean, I'm sure you can picture it in your mind, they're flailing with their arms up in the air, but they can't get back on their feet without the aid of the shepherd. And left in this condition, they're helpless and they're vulnerable to their enemies. And they can die a painful and slow death. I mean, what a picture that is when we are apart from the ultimate good shepherd. When those that don't know Jesus are apart from him. You know, outwardly, we may see people who look calm, who look comfortable. They may be successful in worldly terms. But Jesus, he sees their heart before God. He sees them when they are legs up. And although they may appear normal on the outside, inside they are empty and without God, without hope in the world. You know, in the nation of Israel, Jesus saw many lost sheep without a good shepherd. The Jewish religious leaders of the time, they had the opportunity. They had the opportunity to shepherd these people, pointing them to God. But instead, they were self-righteous. They were self-seeking, and they were looking more about their accomplishments and how they looked on the outside and the needs of the day than caring for the flock that they were entrusted to. They were holding on to everything. And they actually preyed upon these sheep instead of protecting them. So Jesus, as the good shepherd, he continued to seek out those lost and minister to them. Now, Jesus, he knew the need was great. And it was his plan all along to share the good news of salvation so that now he shares this with his disciples, that the workers are few. You see, Jesus changed up the metaphor here. These two metaphors, they show two sides of the matter. First, he used this metaphor of the sheep. The sheep and the shepherd show man's need for God. And the good shepherd seeks out those lost people who are without God in their hearts, and he ministers to them. Yet on the other hand, the harvest and the workers show how God meets man's need by using other people. You see, God uses saved people to help save other people, to reach out to other people, to provide for other people, to shine that light and that love of himself on other people. I mean, how fantastic is that? Jesus' viewpoint is that of a farmer with a great crop that's ready for harvest but doesn't have enough reapers. And by referring to the harvest, he means the spiritually lost and that there are not enough reapers. He means not enough believers actively reaching out to share the good news about Jesus to others. It's an interesting picture, don't you think? That the Lord will accomplish all of his purposes, yet he has chosen to accomplish all of his purposes by reaching the lost people through those that he's already reached. I mean, how amazing is that? He could have chosen anything. He could have done anything he wanted. He's the creator of the universe, yet he chose to use us. He chose to use you. And with that harvest being plentiful, there is an urgent need for more workers. Amen. And here's the kicker. If you are one of Jesus' sheep, he wants you to see yourself as a worker in the harvest. He wants you to find the lost and to share the message of him and to reflect his light and his love. Amen. It's not by accident. It's not by accident that the very next thing that they talk about in Matthew's gospel is that Jesus summoned the 12 together and then he sent them out and appointed them to ministry. You see, up until that point, Jesus had done all the ministering while the disciples watched and learned. But now he's starting to get the disciples involved. He's starting and he's prepared them and he's going to launch them. They are the original laborers sent to harvest the crops. You see, there is this rhythm and this flow to life and to seasons and to ministry. Maybe right now you're fully vested into something. Or perhaps God is preparing you, preparing to launch you into something. Or maybe you're at the point where you have yet to surrender. You're still holding on like this with both hands clinging because you haven't let go yet. But whatever season you're in, the workers in the Lord's harvest are not just those of us that are called into so-called full-time ministry. You see, God has commissioned all of us. He has commissioned all of us because we are all His disciples. He has called us all into action. Every single one of us has a personal testimony. We are all fully equipped to meet the needs of others just as He's met our needs. Just as He's met our needs right where He's met our needs. You know, it's often been said, like one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. You see, Jesus, He wants to open your eyes. He wants you to look past yourself to see the great harvest around you because He has divinely placed you right where you are, with those that are around you that He wants to reach, because we all have a story. We all have a past, and our testimonies all have power. And it's not because the power that comes from us, it's the power that comes from the source, the Good Shepherd. So if you want to tap into that power, we need to see Jesus. And we need to see people as Jesus saw people. We need to see the need of the lost, that there is a great harvest and more workers are needed to harvest the lost people. Because once we see as Jesus has seen, we will be able to feel as Jesus has felt. And then we can lead an abundance of compassion for those people. Now remember, verse 36 said, seeing the people, He felt compassion for them. Oh, Jesus felt compassion. With such compassion in His response to this feeling of empathy. You know, it's crazy because some people, man, some people are just supernaturally filled with compassion and can easily offer mercy. They can sense the needs of others, and it is such a gift. And it's a gift that we can all tap into if we consciously choose to see and to feel as Jesus does. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not one of those people that naturally feel or naturally have that mercy like some people do. Some of us really have to work harder at it. I mean, I can be very task-oriented, and sometimes I have to be reminded, generally by my lovely wife, how important relational aspects of care are. To put down the to-do list and to be present with others. Because that's how you can truly see what people aren't showing you. That's how you can truly hear what people aren't telling you. You see, compassion, it's that deep down feeling when you ache for another person. And you're moved by a desire to help them. Jesus felt this. He felt this deep within Himself so much that He sacrificed everything to reach you, to reach me. You know, I'm sure all of those seminary students were compassionate people. Yet how easily did they fail to act when they were burdened by the busyness of a task? You know, following Jesus requires us to not only feel, but to act. No matter how busy, no matter how preoccupied, no matter how hard we're hanging on, Jesus and His compassion for people will still lead us and still need to lead us as an example. You know, according to Mark 5, when Jesus was on his way to Jairus' home to heal his daughter, a woman had suffered for 12 years. And all she wanted to do was touch his robe and be healed. And although Jesus was trying to get to Jairus' home, his sense of compassion led him to stop anyway, even against the urging of the disciples. It says, "Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came, fell to her knees in front of him, and told him what she had done. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over.'" Do we feel compassion for others to stop and help when something is needed and when it's needed? Or do we only feel compassion for people when it's convenient, when it's easy? Do we trust him enough to let go of me and to be used by he? You see, we need to follow Jesus by seeing. We need to follow Jesus by feeling. And we need to help as Jesus did. He did so because he ministered to people's needs and he even prayed and told us to pray for more workers. You know, ministry isn't this stained glass word that applies only to the professionals. Ministry actually means service. So do we trust him enough to let go of our own focus and to serve others? You know, as a body of believers, as the very body of Christ, we are all called to serve Christ. And we are all called to serve others that are around us. You see, God, he has designed us, uniquely designed us with gifts and opportunities in order to fulfill a role and to serve his kingdom. The only real question is, will you say yes? Will you take that step of faith? Because he has given you those gifts and he presents you with opportunities purposefully, with hopes that you will say yes, that you will say, "Here I am, Lord, use me to serve others that he's put you in contact with." Now listen, I get it. Not everyone is gifted to teach publicly. But I know we all have private conversations. You could be able to teach and minister to others when you know God's word. If your friend makes a comment about God or about Jesus or about eternal life and it's contrary to Scripture, you have an opportunity. You have a brilliant opportunity. You could say, "Why do you think that? Would you mind if I share with you what God's word actually says on the subject?" And by doing this, you're now acting as a teacher. You are being a worker in the harvest. Again, everyone is not called to preach the gospel publicly, but every believer should be ready to give an opportunity when it presents itself, to tell others how they were forgiven and to share your hope as a believer. Now, if you remember earlier, I stated that Charles Spurgeon said about verse 38 that it weighed on his heart more than any other text in the Bible. In fact, he said that it haunted him perpetually. Now, take a minute. Think to yourself, does Jesus' call to pray for more workers in the field weigh on your heart? Do you pray that the Lord would raise up and send workers out of Seaport? Now, I know every week there are numerous prayer meetings where we are sending prayers out for more workers into the harvest. In fact, a few months ago, we hosted CityQuake, and now we're doing Aftershock twice a month where we're sending workers into the fields because there are no shortages of opportunities. There's no shortage of opportunities. But let me warn you, because praying for workers for the harvest is dangerous business. You need to prepare yourself, because if you pray for more workers for the harvest, if you pray as Jesus commanded us to pray, God may tap you on the shoulder. He may tap you on the shoulder and say, "What about you? Will you be my worker in the harvest?" You see, Seaport, we are all workers for him. God loves people, so we should love people. God loved the world that he gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. This is why Christ came. This is why Christ suffered for people. This is the main reason that the church exists on earth, to reach those that are lost. We are to reflect his heartbeat. We are to reflect his light and his love and his comfort of God to all people. You see, God, he just lives and is transformed by the gospel, by living and acting compassionately. And so the only question that I really have for you is, do we desire what God desires? Nobody? Do we desire what God desires?
Amen.
Are you willing to let go of your troubles? Are you willing to let go of your busyness? Are you willing to let go of the rock that throws you against the ages? That rock of the ages? Or are we going to hang on to that? Or are we going to let go? Are we going to grab up to him with one hand and grab down to reach for another? You see, Paul instructed the Christians of Philippi, do nothing out of self-ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of us, you to the interest of others. So let me ask, are you holding on with both hands, too afraid to let go, rendering yourself incapacitated by your intellect, by your opinion? Or are you ready to let go? You know, to respond effectively to the harvest call, we must cultivate a heart of compassion. Because we are called to see people as Jesus sees them, hurting, lost, and in need of his love and his grace. And as we allow that compassion of Christ to fill our hearts, we become vessels, vessels of his mercy and agents of his transformation in the lives of others. And we need to allow our unique gifts, our unique talents, our unique abilities to be used by him to reach others. Because we are called to identify and activate these gifts for the sake of the harvest. We are to effectively engage in the harvest. We need to grab hold of him with one hand and reach down to the depths to grab others. And whether that's through preaching or teaching or serving or encouraging or showing hospitality or taking someone out, each gift is vital. It's vital in advancing the kingdom of God. No gift is too small. No gift is too insignificant. No gift isn't without God's power. Sometimes it's just asking somebody if they're okay. You would be surprised at what a genuine ask does for somebody. To just be genuine, to just be compassionate, to just meet people where they are. Not necessarily where you think they are. You know, and through this equipping and preparation, as we step into these things, we learn to hold on tighter to him. Our grip becomes stronger. Our bond becomes more effective. Our confidence grows. And we'll never let go. And then we'll be confident to just reach down and grab the other person. Because we know he's right there and he's got us. Because we've fully surrendered and we have our arms wide open. We're not gripping on, we're gripping up. Trusting in God's guidance and provision is crucial. It's crucial as we respond to the harvest call. As we embark on this response journey, we rely on God's guidance. We must surrender our own plans, our own desires, our own preconceived notions, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us for others. Trusting in his wisdom and his guidance, it ensures that our labor will be aligned with his purposes. Engaging in the harvest work may come with its own set of challenges, though. We may face opposition. We may face rejection. We may even face our own personal doubts. But we must remember that the same God who calls us into the harvest will faithfully equip us to overcome any of those obstacles that we may encounter. Our confidence rests in His power and in His power alone, not in our abilities. It's not our abilities, it's in His power. Remember, the harvest is plentiful. It's plentiful. Jesus' compassion for the multitudes calls us into action to be laborers who bring the love and the hope of Christ to a hurting world. So let me challenge you. Let me challenge you right now before I close. When you are thrown against that rock of ages, when the difficult situations come, when the uncertainty is there, don't hold on for dear life. Let go. Let go with both hands. Trust in God. Hold on to Him. And then reach down for the person that's drowning right next to you. Lord, as I prepare to close, let us pray before I call Pastor Brad back up. Father God, thank You for revealing Yourself to us. May we embrace You every time You tap us on the shoulder. Lord, You said, love each other in the same way that I have loved You. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. That we answer Your call with joy and dedication, knowing in full confidence that You will empower us, Lord. Help us to listen. Help us to obey as we respond to the harvest call with compassion. Lord, equip us that we may have the faith to grab hold tight, the boldness to let go and to reach for another and to impact those lives as You advance Your kingdom. Lord, may our eyes be open to the ripe fields around us and may we wholeheartedly engage Your work. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Chris. Amen. Andy, come join me. This wasn't necessarily, I heard this morning, and you have to hear this. You have to hear this, because everything that Chris has just taught will be embodied in what you're about to hear. And several months ago, again, Chris said, I asked Chris to lead the city quake thing for me. It was 3.5 days. It was a lot of work. He handled it and handled it very well. I thank you for that. And then we're following that up with Aftershock, and the team's been going out every other, and they went out yesterday. Quite a crew went out, and this is a quick story. There's a lot of backstory here, but Andy told me this story. Andy's one of our, just grab that microphone and bring power onto that microphone. Thanks.
Hello. Yeah.
So just tell us what you told me this morning.
Okay. So we went out yesterday morning, and the teams decided to go to Ocean Beach. Some went to Bluff Point. And I was teamed up with Andrea, and we went and we were on the boardwalk of Ocean Beach, and we saw these two teenage boys walking, and both of us just felt like we should talk to these guys. So we went up and talked to them, and immediately I felt like the Lord said, preach the gospel, just get right to it with these guys. So I started just sharing the gospel, how we've broken God's law.
This is an Ocean Beach park in New London.
This is Ocean Beach, yep. And then I noticed one of the kids had an Ocean Beach t-shirt, but I didn't think anything. The other kid didn't. He looked dressed normal. And then three other kids, one was dragging a garbage can behind him. They all came up with the same shirt, so they must have been part of the cleanup crew or something. But they all joined in, and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, well, now we got five. And I said, I'm just talking to these guys about Jesus. You guys know anything about Jesus? And they're like, not really. And then as I kept going, these are teenagers. I asked them how old they are. They were all 17 and 18 years old. And then as I was continuing to share the gospel with them, an older gentleman and let me see now, that's five. So two other ones. So now we had eight. This older gentleman came up.
Yeah, so you got seven of these teenagers.
Yeah,
and
the guy Joel, I think he might have been in his mid-20s, early 20s. Okay. And I could tell he was the leader of the crew. So I'm like, okay, Lord, now we got eight. This gentleman's coming around, and I wasn't going to, you know, when we go out, we try and be respectful, honoring.
Right.
I'm not going to take his crew and just interrupt their time. And I told him, I'm going to be real quick with you if you want to hear this. And they said, we do. And the gentleman came around, and I talked to him. I engaged with him. I said, look, I'm just sharing Jesus with these guys. They were listening to me, you know. Is there any issue? He's like, no, I go to church. And he stood right there and he listened. So now I had these eight kids and Andrew's praying. We're talking. And I just felt led to share my backstory. Man, God got a hold of my life in this church when I was 15 years old and changed and transformed my life. And I have now 17. And just like Chris preached, compassion. All I could see was I was a statistic. I should be dead. And now I'm in front of 17 kids that could have any road that could lead them to death. And God has given this opportunity. So I just preached the gospel to them in a clear fashion. I shared some of my testimony. And one of my testimonies, I've seen God deliver people from the demonic. And I just felt the led to bring that up. And I said, have you guys ever seen God set somebody free from demons like in the Bible? Have you ever seen that? And this kid, Dimitri, in the back, he raised his hand. I said, I've seen it. And I said, what did you see? He said, outside my bedroom window, I saw a demon and an angel. And I said, the reason you saw that is because they're warring for your soul and God has marked you for salvation. And he was like,
hang on, go hear this.
So I shared the gospel, a clear gospel to them. And I said, do you understand what it means that Christ died for you? He didn't hold back his son for you. And the Bible says that if he wouldn't hold back his son for your life, your eternal soul, what else would he hold back? And this tall guy, Caleb, he was cool. He said, nothing, man. That's nothing. He wouldn't hold anything back. They understood the gospel. And I said, if you want to receive that, Jesus Christ wasn't ashamed to die on a cross naked for you. Would you be ashamed to pray and ask him into your life? If you want that, would you pray right here on this boardwalk with me? And seven of them raised their hand. The other one was already saved. Dude, we prayed right there. They prayed out loud. They received Jesus. These kids, so beautiful kids, man. God saved every last one of them. And I want to connect with them. And when I was walking away, I heard Christian Gaffaro. Now, if you don't know who Christian lives in my home with Penny. God said, Christian Gaffaro. I asked him about Christian Gaffaro. I said, do you know Christian Gaffaro? They said, Christian? We know Christian Gaffaro. Now, why would he do that? It was because God wanted to elevate my trust and my connection with them, right? So God gave that word. And I was, but what Chris just preached, if you guys weren't hearing what he's saying, the harvest is plentiful. God needs you, your time, to make yourself available so that he can save people from death and bring them into life.
But Amen. That's not all. Hang on. But that's not all.
What's that?
We don't have the details yet. Seven. I've never seen seven teenagers come to faith in Christ like that in my life.
Me. Yeah.
But also, one of the other teams led five to Jesus.
Well, we were at the Ocean Beach for 45 minutes. 12 people
one
came
day
to Christ. 45 minutes. Last time we went out there, two healings, multiple encounters, multiple connections with God. 45 minutes.
See, the devil's been lying to a lot of us. We've been believing it, saying that people aren't interested, aren't receptive, don't care.
You carry the kingdom of God inside of you. Everywhere you walk in victory. Jesus walked in victory. It's not about what you've done wrong this week. It's not about Christ has saved you. It's about who's inside of you that the world is hungry for. I'm nobody. This is what I said to the kids. I said, I'm a zero. I'm a zero. And I got this from Reinhard Bunke. I love it. He said, I'm a zero. God's number one. Put us together. We're perfect 10. We'll change the world. That's every one of you. That's every one of you. And that's those kids out there.
Come on, stand with me. Thank you, Andy. Now, if that doesn't excite you, you're dead. You're just dead. I know nothing I can do for you. You're dead. I will just say this. I've been your pastor for nearly 35 years. I have never heard that before. That kind of impact. Never. I've been out on those streets too. I hear stories like that. Makes me want to throw away all the stuff I have to do and just go do that. You know, I just might. Come on, just pray with me. Pray for the spirit of boldness to be upon. Yeah, let's pray that we can throw away the excuses, okay? Let's pray that we just step into this. Amen?
hearing that testimony was I heard that literally 10 minutes before the service, and I said, man, that's like the perfect ending to Chris's message. Help us, Lord, to love people for you. It's not about recruiting people, converting people, or signing them up for church. It's none of that stuff. It's about loving them for you, pointing the way. Help us just to love them and point the way to you. That's what we want, Lord. And we're going to sing a song, and after we sing that song, I'm going to do a couple of things. There's a team will come across the front. They'll be here to pray with you about anything. And if you're here and you've never met the Lord, come up here and take a couple of minutes, and they'll introduce you. Don't be in a hurry. There's a lot of cookies. We're going to go right after this into the cookie reception. Congratulate Chris and hang together for a few minutes. And it'll be good. You know, after some moment dismiss, you can go get your kids immediately and bring them in there. Well, just lots of great cookies. Exactly what most of us don't need, but we're going to have some anyway. And but let's sing this song. And let's just worship the Lord together. And as we get ready to close, and just maybe the prayer just needs to be, God, use me in a greater fashion. Maybe that's how we need to pray. But let's sing this song. Come on. We'll sing it. And then there'll be time for ministry. They'll come up here, and then we'll close. If you need prayer for any reason, the team will move in place right now and they'll pray for you and pray with you about anything that you have need of. Just tell them and they'll pray with you. Just simple and short, and they'll pray. But can we just, before we do that, can we just make sure that our hearts are lining up with the song and that we're available to the Lord? It's easy to say, oh, I'm busy and offer all these excuses. But let me just lay those down. Say, Lord, we're available. We're available to do your will. You can have it all. Thank you, Lord. Dismiss us now in your great grace, we pray. Just bless our cookie reception as we celebrate with Chris. Thanks, Lord. Please, if you just do me a favor and kind of leave quietly, because some people can still be up here praying, just go right out these doors and to the right and hang around with us for a few minutes if you possibly can, and it'll be fun. Come on, let's do that. If you need prayer, come and receive that. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend.